Blog Talk Radio.
Dear Michelle, when I received an open invitation to compile a letter that would be included with other African American women all over the nation to share about this monumental moment in history, I thought, what eloquent words or wisdom could I speak to such an accomplished woman? I thought, why can't I call Maya Angelou for her beautiful words? Wasn't there a card that said it all? As I thought more about my reservations, I realized that this letter was an invitation from the universe, calling upon my gifts and realizing that each and every one of us are a gift. This was about a decision I was getting ready to make and taking a chance on the unknown ramifications in stepping forward and accepting this invitation. It made me stop and think about how many invitations I had declined in the past, opportunities I let go by, quiet fears and voices I listened to that said, "You can't." I am so proud of you and your husband's accomplishments, about being an American today, an African-American woman, and there is more. Writing this letter to you is about a monumental moment in my history and my psyche. If this is a pivotal moment or an aha moment for me, how many other people's mindsets have been touched by your gift? To write you a letter meant that I was requiring myself to be quiet enough and truthful enough to sit in solitude, to search my heart and soul, to struggle enough so that I could place words to the overwhelming and smothering feelings, and realize once I acknowledged my truths and fears, I could no longer rely on ignorance as bliss or select to take action. I would have to make a decision whether to accept this invitation from the universe and step out from behind my invisible veil where I could whimsically decide when to hope or allow my selected blindness to keep me feeling comfortable and safe. Or was it time to embrace my fears and step fully forward into hope? How comfortable and stagnant has this mute status quo position been for me? I realized that this letter was not only about feeling proud and honored about your courage, Michelle, but really a thank you note for sharing your faith with those you don't even know. Yesterday, during our church service, my pastor spoke from the text in the Bible on Matthew 25:1-13. The scripture talked about how five of the women were wise because they had taken their oil lamps and oil with them as they waited on their bridegrooms. They had hope and believed that their mates were going to show up so that they were going to be prepared for them when the time came. The other five women were referred to as foolish because they only took their oil lamps but no oil. They really didn't believe or expect any change, so they didn't prepare themselves by bringing oil with them for their lamps. They didn't have hope. Once they saw the possibilities, they then wanted to borrow some oil. They hadn't prepared themselves, which meant they would miss out in some ways. I am thankful for the reinforcement of the message through God's word, your speech at the Democratic Convention, and the outcome of the election to the universe to keep hope and take responsibility to be prepared, because we know change goes along with hope. Your entire family's decision on whether your husband would run for president was a testimony to this message, having the faith to hope and knowing you have to be prepared. The course of the election exemplified this motto as the nation watched. As I was leaning over to my 12-year-old daughter during the church service, whispering to make sure she heard this message, I thought about you as a mother and all of your private discussions with your daughters in sharing this message. Thank you for your courage to say yes, to step from behind your private veil into the public eye, to step forward with the grace of boldness, to carry a message that hope is a wise decision, and also for teaching the importance of learning to prepare oneself, because with hope, things can change. I sat next to my daughter, praying that all women would tell this message to themselves, their daughters and sisters, nieces and neighbors, mothers, grandmothers, aunts, friends, and sister friends, strangers and mates. But most of all, I thank you from the bottom of my heart to remind me to keep being hopeful so I can keep flapping my wings and not be afraid to fly. Thank you for being the messenger to remind us through your life example that when you have hope, you can help others. Sincerely, with a grateful heart, Rosaria Love. Rosaria Love is an entrepreneur who is founder and president of her own consulting firm. She is an adjunct professor at Chestnut Hill College and Arcadia University, specializing in the area of gender and culture issues. She resides in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Mom in Chief, Michelle Obama, Mother of the Nation. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. Dear Michelle, or Mom in Chief, your ascent to the White House in January 2009 as the First Lady of the United States of America fills countless women and girls around the world with great pride. We exude pride because you represent both a long-awaited and exceedingly deserving first African-American First Lady of this nation. We are also proud of your expressed brilliance, particularly the manner in which you advocate the change we need in America and the world. We additionally hold dear your extraordinary life accomplishments, including what you, a person of humble origins, have made of yourself and your family. But mostly, we take pride in Michelle Obama because you signify our inspiring Mother of the Nation, filling us with hope by your enduring examples of love and action for your life partner, children, elders, extended family, ancestors, and fellow citizens of diverse walks of life. Hope can instigate the healing of centuries-old wounds. Hope can rebuild a nation in crisis. Hope can restore faith in oneself and each other. Hope can change the course of human destiny. Be assured that the determined nature of your love and action instills hope in numerous Americans and even others outside this country who observe, listen to, or come in contact with you. For the determined quality of your love and action employs us to take up the task to define our nation anew when you ask, what kind of country do we want to hand over to our children? Not just mine, our children. Our country is not good enough for my girls or for any of our children. December 20th, 2007. Your love and action determinedly reminds us of our obligation to the aged who have nurtured us and on whose shoulders we stand. Most of our seniors are not living with the respect and dignity that they need. I need my mom, who is 70 years old and retired, and there's nothing like grandma. We need our seniors whole and solid and ready to contribute to the next generation. February 3rd, 2008. That's hope. Again, your determined love and action instructs us what Barack will do for the cynical, confused, isolated, and passive citizens among us to make change. Barack Obama will require you to work. He is going to demand that you shed your cynicism, that you put down your divisions, that you come out of your isolation, that you move out of your comfort zone, that you push yourselves to be better, and that you engage. February 20th, 2008. That's hope again. With determination, your love in action describes a path of resistance for victims of discrimination and prejudice. Your voices of truth and hope and a possibility have got to drown out the skeptics and the cynics. June 26, 2008. That's hope, again. You explain how to understand and emulate the determination of our forebears who bequeathed us a legacy of love in action. The 88th anniversary of women winning the right to vote and the 45th anniversary of that hot summer day when Dr. King lifted our sights and our hearts with his dream for our nation. I stand here today at the cross currents of that history, knowing that my piece of the American dream is a blessing hard won by those who came before me, all of them driven by the same conviction that drove my dad, the same conviction that drives the men and women I've met all across this country. August 25th, 2008. That's hope again. If hope is to be alive and well, we must embrace the sanctity of all of humanity across time, space, and difference, as you, Mother of the Nation, teach us. We are one another's brothers and sisters keepers. Andre Nicola McLaughlin. Andre Nicola McLaughlin, a native of New York State, is chairperson of the Department of Interdisciplinary Studies and professor of Women's Studies and Cross-Cultural Literature at Medgar Evers College. She is the first holder of the Dr. Betty Shabazz Distinguished Chair in Social Justice. Dear Michelle, I was inspired to write this letter to you after attending the 26th annual In the Tradition National Black Storytelling Festival and Conference in Cincinnati, Ohio, from November 19th to the 23rd. Your name, President-elect Obama, and your children's names were called out often in prayer and song as we told stories around the theme, Follow the Drinking Gourd, Celebrating Heroes and Sheroes of Freedom. Homage was paid to Rosa Parks, Sojourner Truth, John Parker, Mary McLeod Bethune, Paul Lawrence Dunbar, as well as the mothers, fathers, grandparents, other family members, and community persons who showed us a way out of no way. I know that soon your story is also one that will be told when we remember our collective stories of who we are. I envision that your story will tell of a confident African-American woman from a loving family who fulfilled the expectations of excellence in education. I want to hear a story of how you fell in love with a handsome, confident man of African descent and how together you are raising two girls with family support while pursuing demanding careers. I delight in hearing how you and Barack made a decision to seek the office of the President of the United States. The story can be told of how you faced each other and communicated to your children and family to pursue this goal and to keep your eyes on the prize. I am excited that many will recount this moment in history when Michelle Robinson Obama rose from the South Side of Chicago to become the First Lady of the United States. Thank you for being an inspiration to women worldwide, and from this day forward, tell your story. Yours in Sisterhood and Storytelling, Sharon Yvonne Jordan Holly. Sharon Yvonne Jordan Holly is a retired librarian from the Buffalo and Erie County Public Library. She is a member of several storytelling and community organizations and plays percussion with Daughters of Creative Sound, an African-American women's drum and percussion group. She is an uncrowned queen and believes in the power of stories to change lives. She was born in High Springs, Florida, and now resides in Buffalo, New York with her husband, Kenneth. They are the parents of three daughters and grandparents of three grandchildren. Dear Michelle, 1931, Monroe, Louisiana. Magnolia Sims Frazier, a grandmother I have never met, was riding in the segregated section of a bus, tired and pregnant with her only child, my father. The white section of the bus was full, and when a white man told my grandmother to get out of her seat to let him sit down, she refused. He began beating her so badly that she finally took out a knife and stabbed him. Well, that was unheard of in the segregated South, especially in 1931. The white community was quick to gather up a posse to come and lynch my grandmother. One of the local funeral parlors hit her, but the colored section of town knew they were coming and were prepared. So prepared were they that the white posse thought better of it and didn't come. Surprisingly, when my grandmother went to court, she got off with a fine. Unheard of in those days, when just touching a white person the wrong way could get you hanged. I can only surmise that the judge, when confronted with my diminutive grandmother, who was all of 5 feet 4 inches and weighed about 110 pounds, heavily pregnant and being accused by a big, strapping white man of being stabbed, that in his heart he really couldn't sentence her to more. I never met Magnolia. She died before I was born. But her blood runs through my veins, and I've often wondered where I got the strength to stand up, not only for myself, but for the unfortunates around me. Michelle, I'm so proud of you on so many levels. I see the strength, the self-confidence, and the love you surround your family and our president in. It makes me smile just to say it. Our president. I know your strength comes not only from your lovely mom, but from your mother and your mother's mother before her. My father once told me as he was dropping me off at the airport on my way back to the University of Irvine that he did the best he could by his children by marrying my mother. He meant that because she was light-skinned, which I am not, I take after him, we would have a better chance in the world. As a dark-skinned woman in this society and the society of the world in every culture, the darker skinned you are, the more unattractive, the less dowry, the less choice of a good husband you will have. You see it even now in our athletes' choices of blonde wives, very light-skinned sisters, anything but dark. You have no idea, or perhaps you do, how self-affirming to all the darker, less valued women on the planet your husband's choice of you, a true, gorgeous black woman, has done for us. Suddenly our stock has risen. We are no longer immediately considered the hookers, drug addicts, easily used and easily thrown away, as the movies, television, and the papers have painted us for centuries. We are finally what we have been all along, beautiful. When I read the introduction of President Obama's first book, Dreams of My Father, I was riveted by his comments about a young boy in your family going to a school and his classmates wouldn't play with him because his skin was too dark. I went to a Catholic school in San Francisco many years ago, the only African American in my class, and I sat for a year by myself at recess because the kids were told by their parents that they couldn't play with me because I was black. Don't get me wrong. I don't have a racist bone in my body. Most of my friends are white. I don't see color. Never have. So I've been bewildered by it all of my life. The racial divides, even in our own families, because of our differing colors, is sad. But you have gone way beyond all the pettiness, and you are our model citizen and mother. Have I mentioned how proud I am of you because of your education? No one seems to highlight the fact that you are an attorney and used to be your husband's boss. Guess that's a bit too hard for most people to handle. But all I can say is you both have rocked my world. I couldn't stop crying for a week after the election. I finally felt like a true American. When I said that at my job, one of the white men who works with me was very offended. But I have to keep in mind that he did say he was voting for the white side of Obama. But it wasn't just the election of the president. It was also that he had a gorgeous, strong, black, intelligent woman by his side. He made my dream come true. And so did you by being there for him and letting him run, by putting your private life on hold for the next, at least 10 years and putting your family in jeopardy every minute of it. You are true Americans. I love you. Jacqueline Frazier. Jacqueline Frazier was born and raised in San Francisco. She works in daytime television and has received 5 Emmy nominations in sound production for Days of Our Lives. She also has written several episodes of the show and is a storyteller.
Teta V. Banks was born in Liberia and grew up in the United States. She is an educator and a civil rights leader. As Honorary Consul General of Liberia, she is responsible for assisting in the rebuilding of Liberia.
Dear Madam First Lady, it is indeed with pride and honor that I greet you on this historic day. At this moment in time, the world looks upon you and sees a new America, one of justice, one of reconciliation, and one of unfaltering hope and faith in a dream that once was deferred but now has become its destiny. On the great day of inauguration, I pray that you be filled with the spirit of all the ancestors and all the thousands gone before who dared to dream of such a day. Be filled with the pride of the martyrs, heroes, and sheroes who kept the faith on the long journey to freedom. Be filled with the faith of the faithful who through the centuries leaned on the everlasting arm and believed that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. For the days ahead will call forth your strength and faith and love. Then, in the silent moments, be at peace, knowing that all that is was meant to be and all that is needed is at hand. Be assured that the hands of the great sisterhood stretch across the seas and across the eons to uphold you, gird you, and lift you. And in lifting you, a people are lifted, a nation is lifted, and a new world is lifted in accordance with the higher law. Liberia stretches forth its arms. Africa stretches forth its arms to its sons and daughters in the infinite diaspora. We pray for one world of peace. Now we can see more than merely dimly the fruition of what Dr. King called the World House, where we are all brothers and sisters whose future is inextricably linked. Blessings be upon you. Sincerely, Teta V. Banks. Teta V. Banks was born in Liberia and grew up in the United States. She is an educator and a civil rights leader. As Honorary Consul General of Liberia, she is responsible for assisting in the rebuilding of Liberia.
Dear Michelle, I first became aware of the power of politics and the power of the people on my 9th birthday. On April 4, 1968, I was celebrating my 9th birthday party with friends and family in our Chicago apartment when my father came home from work in tears. I had never seen him cry before, so I was acutely aware of every single word uttered and every deed that took place that evening. The scene inside our second floor apartment was one of sadness. Tears and prayers flowed as parents came to pick up their children from the interrupted birthday party. Shadows formed from candlelight in each room, as well as the gray glow of the black and white images emerging from the television. Martin, gunned down on a motel balcony in Memphis. Mom uttered, a dream deferred. From our second store window, I watched a different scene unfolding on the streets of our West Side neighborhood. Fury and frustration ignited fires that blazed through the night. I woke to the stench of a burned neighborhood that was now occupied by the National Guard. I worried about my parents, whose sadness seemed larger than anything God could fix. And I had been raised to believe that God could fix anything. 40 years later, as I listened to your husband, our president-elect, Barack Obama, declare that change had come to the United States of America, I cried. I cried for the little girl 40 years ago who didn't even get a birthday wish. However, I also cried in joy for every 9-year-old girl alive today. I know that somewhere in America there is a little girl who is blowing out birthday candles wishing to be the next president of the United States. Her dream will not be deferred, but by all means can be and will be delivered. Living the Dream. Faith Davis. Faith Childs Davis is a writer, artist, mom, and arts educator. She lives in Los Angeles, where she maintains a garden, a career in the arts, and a place in the hearts of loved ones.
Who said what? Somebody said, who is she? 'Cause we don't know where she came from. Somebody said, she's unpatriotic, 'cause she said something about American racism. Somebody said, she's an elitist, because she's so damn smart. Somebody said she's a racist because the New Yorker put her on the cover holding a gun. I saw intelligence and steadfastness because I saw an Ivy League education and a symbol of African-American completeness. I saw beauty, style, and grace because I saw how women around the world admired her essence. I saw motherhood in its finest form because I saw her protect and nurture beautiful daughters while on the campaign trail, because I saw her with that one in an embrace that electrified mankind. Now, who said what? Dear Fuller. Dear Fuller was born in Buffalo, New York, and currently resides in Baltimore County, Maryland. She is the program manager at a local junior college. She is a musician, amateur writer, and artist. She is married and the mother of two daughters. Dear Michelle, it's 7 a.m. Thanksgiving morning, and I just put my turkey in the oven and my ham on to boil, thinking, of course, about all the things I'm thankful for in my life. Though everything is not as I hoped, dreamed, planned, or even endeavored, I am thankful. I thought about how thankful I am for our president-elect, and my mind immediately turned to the email I received 2 days ago about writing letters to Michelle. And I thought, Michelle, thank you for not embarrassing your mama. Every time you do your mama proud, you make us all proud. Being a tall sister, probably tall as a young girl, I'll bet your mama always reminded you to stand up straight. Michelle, thank you for standing up straight, tall in dignity, tall in integrity, tall in pride. You stand for those whose legs have been weak and shaky, and we haven't made it as far as we would have liked. You stand for those of us whose legs have been intentionally and unintentionally knocked from under us, so we just haven't been able to pull ourselves up. But we're still trying, and trying to make sure our daughters and granddaughters are able to. You stand for those of us whose legs were simply missing at birth, and will always need someone to stand on our behalf. Thank you. Michelle, I can just hear your mama telling you to just be yourself. Thank you, Michelle, for not minding being one of us, for not having a problem saying you are one of us. Thank you for knowing that there are millions of us like you. Thank you for knowing that you stand in the spotlight on behalf of us, on behalf of those who could never have conceived of one of us in the White House or any other house. Thank you for withstanding the spotlight that brings with it compliment and criticism, honor and offense, love and loathing. Thank you, Michelle, you and your beautiful daughters, for taking the blows with the blessings. My mama left this earth when I was very small, but I always imagined she would tell me what I'll bet your mama told you, maybe not realizing exactly what she was saying. You can be anything you want to be. Thank you, Michelle, for showing us and the world who we truly are, what our Creator intended of us, who we are and who we are becoming. Mothers, daughters, granddaughters, aunts, cousins, first ladies, standing tall, proud, moral, intelligent, compassionate, first ladies, not minding, not ashamed, not rejecting, not minimizing that you are African American, first ladies. I know that you and yours are not ours alone, that you are the standard bearers of a nation, indeed a world that is waiting, watching, wondering, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Sister, surely you know you are that good thing. You were chosen for this moment in time. Thank you for hearing and heeding the call. Today I will pray for you and your family, and I will thank God for you. You do us proud. Thank you, Michelle. Respectfully, Norma J. Thomas. Norma J. Thomas is a native and resident of Houston, Texas. She is a teacher of speech communications and theater arts in Houston Public Schools. She is a producer, director, playwright, screenwriter, and spoken word artist. Norma is mother of Cam Anita and doting grandmother of Camila, Mahira, and Lila Imani.
Honor. Thank you, First Lady Michelle, for epitomizing such a tall order. Honor thy father and thy mother. From sharing precious memories that you paint, of a loving and supportive dad, to including your dear mother inside the White House. Family makes a real home glad. Thanks to your chosen path, precious girls like yours, my two granddaughters and females worldwide are poised to take uncharted leaps. For we all are daughters of Abraham to whom much is promised. Watch future generations reap. With love, Geraldine Drake Hawkins. Geraldine Drake Hawkins, a senior program analyst in federal service, has impacted thousands of public school and undergraduate students across three decades as an educator program evaluator. She resides in Bowie, Maryland.
Dear Michelle Obama, you must know the pride we feel for you, becoming our first African-American First Lady. You bring great joy to women all over the world, not just African-American women. Not only are you an educated woman who has attended prestigious universities, but also you came into the urban community helping to uplift ordinary people. You are the epitome of the phrase, to reach one is to teach one. Whenever I read articles describing your life, the one word I have seen most often is community. I am the president of the Mary B. Talbert Civic and Cultural Club. Our motto is lifting as we climb, which seems to be yours too. I was overwhelmed when I read about your journey from Princeton and Harvard Law to local communities where you created programs helping children read, encouraging people to volunteer, recruiting black undergrads to Harvard Law, and uplifting families in the community. As your husband becomes our president and leader, we know that with each step he takes, he has you beside him, his rock and strength. Every successful man needs someone of your grace, personality, and faithfulness. You have a charismatic presence, a quiet strength that exudes real hope that we can make this a better world, one person at a time. The love we see within your family is awesome. We realize no family is perfect, but yours is so close. You and Obama let the world see that people of color have strong family ties, love that is not hidden, faith in God who guides, and respect for all people. You show this love in the way you look at each other, and even the touch of your hands, especially the fist bump. Then you add that touch of humor that makes us smile or even laugh. The Lord has blessed you with a loving, strong family. We see it on the faces of Sasha and Malia as they smile and wave at us, showing their graciousness that is guided by loving but disciplined hands. But you know what I truly respect you for? It is that you have let us see your husband as a man who is not perfect because he is human like us. Moreover, you are keeping your children grounded by making sure they will still have chores to do, like making their beds. I also thank you for your commitment to support military families, help working women balance work and family and national service. These issues are so important in strengthening the family, which is the core of building communities and giving us national pride by serving our country. You are giving us hope for a future my grandkids can believe in. My 88-year-old father said, "Never in my lifetime did I think we would have a leader in the White House who looked like me. That man makes me so proud, and he's got a pretty wife and some cute kids, too." May the Lord protect you and guide you to the right path. My prayers and support are with you and your family. Peace and love. Priscilla Y. Hill. Priscilla Y. Hill is a retired educator and writer of poetry and short stories. She is president of the Mary B. Talbert Civic and Cultural Club in Buffalo, New York. Rainbow House. Dear Michelle, never wanted to visit the White House till now. Now that you and your family live there by proclamation of rainbow vote and universal prayer, I feel welcome now that I know little girls with double Dutch braids and missing teeth grow, play, and dream there. Your home feels warm. Now that I know eighth grade student Jacqueline Mendoza will fly on nightingale wings out of a forest of wooden desks from the City of Angels to watch you and your man walk into that house. She too is filled with dreams, and she will dance at the inaugural ball wearing a red dress made by her father's hands, hands that represent a community in action. Si, se puede. 67% voted for change. Yes, we did. We did this together, black, brown, red, yellow, white, and 52% independent green. I hear the music of your bangles as you move through the halls of the house I now think of as the Rainbow House. I cry with Jesse. We have lived long enough to see this part of the dream manifest. I smile with throngs of unseen ancestors of every hue who have waited for your arrival. They love you in red, as do I. Please wear it often. It suits you. Today's newspaper deemed you and Barack the most telegenic president and first lady in the history of the country, appealing to the eyes of the camera and the viewing audience. Yes, you are beautiful, easy on the eyes, and so much more. The thought of you rests easy on my soul. We see you. My eyes are the eyes of my ancestors and the Great Spirit. We see your heart and know its goodness. In the spirit of seeing and knowing, we add to the description of telegenic, telegnostic, your vision, a country whose people more alike than different, united for change. You saw us whole, then challenged us to stand up in this vision of ourselves, and we did. Thank you for sharing your husband with the world. Your act of selflessness has changed the course of history, has energized the cosmic DNA and raised the vibration of all life. Harmonic balance is being restored. We all breathe a little easier now. Sequoia Olivia Mercier. Sequoia Olivia Mercier is a native New Yorker who has lived in Los Angeles the majority of her life. She is the mother of one son, Eric. She is a mental health counselor and a nurse. She is a member of the Anazi Writers Workshop. A tribute to Michelle Lavon Obama, née Robinson, the Black Rock of Barack. From whence she came, Daddy's little black gal. From the firm embrace of a loving father into the heart of an African son, black, beautiful, intelligent, and strong, Daddy's little black gal. From mom's little princess to the most popular mom in the free world, queen of the country, Daddy's little black gal. From the south side of Chi-town, protected by a brother's love, to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest, protected by Secret Service, Daddy's little black gal. From caring daughter, sister, wife, and mother, to First Lady of these United States of America, but still, Daddy's little black gal. Ina Rebecca Doss Chapman. Ina Rebecca Doss Chapman is a native of Buffalo, New York. She shares a 34-year marriage and five children, Kendietta Jamil, Makeda Irene, Tiffany Araya, Tira Elizabeth, and Michael II, with the husband of her youth, Michael Chapman. They are the proud grandparents of 18 grandchildren. Ina is an independent businesswoman who provides administrative and programmatic support, analyzing community-based health data related to cancer.
Dear Michelle, please teach Malia and Sasha about the awesome women and men on whose shoulders President Obama and you stand. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 to 7 states, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Please tell them about the daring individuals who braved hatred, ostracism, ridicule, beatings, and even lynching, to give them and millions of Americans the privilege of dreaming and the audacity to hope. My tribute to you. Audacious. We dare to dream dreams. We dare to hope. Audacious. Like the Birmingham, Alabama youth facing Bull Connor's water hoses and police dogs. Hope, so I could vote. Audacious. Like the Freedom Riders braving a treacherous bus trip through the segregated South. Hope, so I could vote. Audacious. Like Medgar Evers demanding, if you can't try it, don't buy it. Hope, so I could vote. Audacious. Like James Meredith embarking on a lone trek to the Mississippi State Capitol. Hope, so I could vote. Audacious. Like Muhammad Ali objecting to war because his real enemy was at home. Hope, so I could vote. Audacious. Like Rosa Parks sitting so I could stand in line today and vote with dignity and pride. Hope, so I could vote. Audacious, like the Little Rock Nine walking through a hate-filled corridor in quest of equal facilities. Hope, so I could vote. Audacious, like Fannie Lou Hamer during a deputy's beating after trying to register to vote. Hope, so I could vote. Audacious, like Mamie Till opening 14-year-old Emmett's casket and showing the world his mutilated body. Hope, so I could vote. Audacious, like the students from the North and East coming South in 1964 and daring the media to report the real news. Hope, so I could vote. Audacious, like Martin Luther King Jr. dreaming of such a time as this, when Barack Obama had the audacity to hope, so all Americans can live the dream so long deferred. Today, hope made me vote. Michelle, God bless your family, and God bless the United States that President Obama has opened for all Americans. I, too, am proud to be called an American today. Yours sincerely, Rose Parkman Marshall. Rose Parkman Marshall is a native of Mississippi. She writes and speaks about her experiences growing up in the segregated South of the 1950s and 1960s. She trained with poet Audre Lorde and novelist Rosalind Brown at Tougaloo College and was mentored by Dr. Margaret Walker Alexander.
Dear Michelle, it's 2 o'clock in the morning on November 5th. I hear the magic words, Obama is the new president-elect of the United States. I jump, shout, fall to my knees, start crying, then think about my ancestors, Granny and Grandpa, Uncle Jack, and all the ones I'll never know because of slavery. I begin to pray. I ask the Creator for empathy, the kind that comes not from required diversity seminars or college courses designed to make everyone celebrate something in others they don't celebrate in themselves. I ask for the kind that comes with our humanity. I pray for a day when everyone wakes up and knows we are our brothers and sisters' keepers. An image on the news interrupts. Cleveland, Ohio. The local NAACP office, Obama headquarters, a room full of cry-happy black people, tears streaming, all singing God Bless America, Land I Love, an American flag waving in the background like it's Independence Day. I ask the Creator for the understanding we're going to need from non-supporters as you, President Obama, and your daughters begin this journey in the White House. Understanding that as U.S. citizens, we are connected by Indian land, a constitution, and a series of institutions that have the potential to take us to the greatness those founding men, who I've never called fathers, envisioned only for white folks. I ask the Creator for strength, that deep down, never give up kind of strength that our ancestors had, the kind that carried my grandparents through a depression they used to talk about. They were surprised they had kept home and family together, even when there were no jobs and Grandpa worked for potatoes and meat, their daily bread. I ask the Creator for patience to temper the jubilation everybody black I know feels at this moment, our desire to dance in the streets, ride a roller coaster all day, stay off work for a week, call everybody we know to take a vacation to It's a Wonderland, that place we've all dreamed about and doubted and hoped for and didn't think we'd ever see in our lifetime. I ask the Creator for safety, to hold you, Brother Obama, and your children close and safe in everlasting loving arms. I ask that each of you realize, even in the most hectic, challenging, spirit-draining times, how much, much, much you're loved and prayed for by an ongoing, unbroken circle of bowed heads and held hands. I ask the Creator for a way to put into words the Aretha Franklin R-E-S-P-E-C-T I have for you. Beautiful, brilliant, resilient sister. To let you know how much your husband with you by his side has changed my world forever. To share the joy in my 25-year-old daughter Michelle's voice at 2:35 a.m. this morning when she called screaming and crying at the same time to say, Mama, Obama's the new president. Love, Mary E. Weems. Mary E. Weems is a poet, playwright, author, performer, and imagination intellect theorist.
She is an assistant professor at John Carroll University and the Poet Laureate of Cleveland Heights. Mary is a resident of University Heights, Ohio.
Dear Michelle, on August 28, 2008, my husband Alexander, my daughter Jessia, and I boarded a United Airlines flight to Denver, Colorado. Our destination was the Democratic National Convention, where your husband would accept the nomination to be the Democratic nominee for President of the United States that night. Since January 2008, when Senator Obama won the first Democratic caucus in Iowa, I had asked myself in complete wonder, could this be happening in these United States, in this country that has held out so much promise for generations of people from every ethnic group and walk of life? We were going to Denver because we wanted to be there when history was made. On this day, August 28th, 45 years ago, more than 250,000 people converged on Washington, D.C. for the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. Dr. Martin Luther King gave his memorable I Have a Dream speech and embodied a symbol that had long been a part of African-American culture. He was the dreamer. He dreamed of an America where his children would be judged by the content of their character and not by the color of their skin. On this day, 45 years later, we were going to see the dream fulfilled in the person of Barack Obama. He would become the first African American to accomplish what so many people of color could only dream of doing. We were going to Denver also because we believed in your courage and commitment to your husband's vision of a country and a world safe for your beautiful girls and worthy of the legacy bequeathed by Martin and Coretta. We got off the plane, went directly to rent a car, and drove to the hotel to deposit our bags. We didn't stop to eat, for the only thing that was on our minds was getting to the Invesco Mile High Stadium to see if by some stroke of luck we could get tickets to go inside the stadium. When we approached the area at around 2 o'clock p.m., we saw that there was a line of people that stretched from Colfax Avenue to Federal Boulevard. As we joined the crowds, we saw that almost everyone heading toward the stadium had badges or credential tags hanging from strings around their necks. My hope that we would be able to get inside the stadium dimmed. However, we proceeded to enter along with thousands of other people until we reached the gate. Others who had come without tickets held signs saying, "I need one ticket. Please, we need tickets for the members of the Alpha Choir." One African-American man openly begged, "I need two tickets for my shorties. These are my sons." A woman, seeing our predicament, said, "Don't give up. You'll get in. Stand beside me. I have a big voice." The line now stretched for a mile down Colfax, a wait of 2 or 3 hours. Alexander looked for a place on the hill where we could watch the giant screen. However, we soon gave up and left the gate and walked back almost the length of the line to a place called Angel Mexican and American Restaurant. We were 100 yards east of Invesco Stadium, and we contented ourselves with being in this place that we now called Angels in Left Field. We were close enough to hear the roar of the crowd in the stadium and clearly see the convention on a widescreen projection as we sat eating our fajitas and drinking cranberry pineapple juice. When we took our seats in the restaurant, the crowd was just beginning to gather to hear the speeches. By the time Barack Obama made his acceptance speech at 8 o'clock that night, the restaurant was packed with at least 200 people standing, cheering, and creating their own magic. Amid all of the excitement and noise, I saw my husband take a piece of cardboard that he had found on the table and quietly begin to write on it. He wrote in four columns the names of all the people he could remember who died before they could see the significance of this day. Lord L. Johns, John Gavin, Lee Gavin, Sidney Williams, Ruth Williams, Jesse Smallwood Veal, Joseph Veal, Dorothy Johns, Albert Gavin, Georgia Smallwood, Thomas Smallwood, and Elizabeth Smallwood. As he wrote the list, each name was a litany that we would later recite with a prayer. It was not over. Barack Obama had been nominated as the Democratic candidate for president. It would take many more prayers and a litany of names who remembered our scourged and embattled history to make this dream his destiny, your destiny. When you and your family go to the spot under the shadow of the Lincoln Memorial, where Barack Obama will be sworn in as the 44th President of the United States, you will take with you our history of dreams deferred. However, you will also take with you our prayers and hopes for an America that is ready to build and dream anew. Joanne V. Gavin. Joanne V. Gavin is Executive Director of the Furious Flower Poetry Center and professor of English at James Madison University. She has organized two international conferences for the critical exploration of African American poetry. She lives in Harrisonburg, Virginia.
Dear First Lady Michelle Obama, as an uncrowned queen, we celebrate you as a crown queen. Your grace, regal carriage, and dynamism as a mother, wife, and role model make you a shining star in this galaxy. You have proclaimed your primary role to be mom in chief. It is a responsibility you have performed admirably and with care and compassion. One need look no further than Malia and Sasha to see that these young ladies radiate love. It is a direct reflection of your and Barack's caring spirit, gentle guidance, and inspired parenting that they have captivated America's imagination. You have blazed this history-making trail in a mode befitting the woman of substance that you are. As you continue this journey, be comforted in knowing that you have the admiration and respect of the world. You may encounter landmines and obstacles as you continue down this path, but with the love of family and with the other queens in this universe providing support, you and President Obama will conquer any challenge and emerge victorious. Sincerely, Barbara A. McKenzie. Barbara A. McKenzie is the 27th International President of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, Incorporated. Her four-year term is from 2006 to 2010 and encompasses the organization's 100-year anniversary in 2008. She is affectionately known as the Centennial International President. McKenzie's administration is marked by the theme ESP, which stands for Economics, Service, and Partnerships.
Dear Michelle Obama, I wrote a poem that I hope carries you into safe areas when the stress of the White House politics and protocol are overwhelming and closing in on you. Take this advice from this great-grandmother. Please remember in those times how important keeping in touch with the familiar aspects of life, that family will be your touchstone to reality. It is there you will find peace. So enjoy this new ride. I will be praying for you. Blessings and peace. Familiar is the family. Familiar is the family. The unknown, exciting, wholesome thoughts expand around early rooster crows, unlike fast city black raven caws. Country bird songs and railroad whistles, dog barks, and cooling fans usher in new warm days. New again this familiar. Family memories of waking to birds that sing thankful to God who brings forth life abundant and good family thoughts of hopeful loving enter into each word given, each touch meant to flourish, grow, and expand, each deliberate, unending flow of the familiar, cascade like waterfalls rushing, discovering new routes, stimulate to jaw senses awake. Awake to the challenge. Awake to the necessary. Awake to the awesome. Awake to the wonder. Awake to new life. New again this familiar, chant of centuries old, round song waking up the dawn, closing out the dark, opening up light-filled eyes. Andrea Bonwell is a resident of Fresno, California. She has been a writer since the age of 9. Andrea also writes under her Ghanaian name, Abina, and has contributed to journals and anthologies. She has received numerous awards and commendations for her body of work as an organizer, grant writer, and mentor for faith and community-based organizations. Dear Michelle, well, you did it. You kept the home fires burning, did not skip a beat doing the mom thing, and stood by your man until the finish. Now you are going to reap the benefits. I know you are thinking, it has just begun, and you are so right. The battle is going to be long and arduous and often unpleasant. You might scratch your head and say, did I really sign up for this? First Lady, you should know you have loads of support, more than you may realize. There are so many women, men too, who have your back and want to see this new administration succeed and prosper. Actually, when I read your life story and that of your husband, the president-elect, doesn't that sound good? I feel as if this was a natural progression of things, just the way it was supposed to be. How can your story be any more American than a child of the South Side of Chicago, raised by God-fearing, hard-working parents who believed in the American dream? Your family reflects the millions of other families in this country who migrated from the southern states, who toiled in factories, hospitals, military bases, government jobs, and other folks' homes to put food on the table, make a home for your children, and then went on to educate them, thus having faith that they would reap the benefits of their hard work. President Obama's story is equally compelling, a true reflection of the amalgam of cultures that has made America what it is. That is why your family was embraced by so many. People saw themselves, and the connection was instantaneous. Additionally, when women see you, Michelle, they see a woman who is secure in herself, her life, and her marriage. A woman who was secure enough to not step back to allow her man to pursue his dream, but a woman brave and secure enough to step forward and take the mantle of hope to walk beside her man to reach for the prize together. You knew what it took to make it happen, and you decided to do it. To paraphrase Brother Langston Hughes, life ain't going to be no crystal stair. The walk will get rough. The path will be uneven. And you may get a few pebbles in the soles of your feet. But I believe, along with millions of others, that you will continue to walk straight, strong and true, representing for all of us who believed it could be done. God bless you and your family. Dira R. Williams. Dira R. Williams lives, works, and plays in Oakland, California, where she is employed at a local community college. A writer, reader, and genealogist, she is the family historian, keeper of stories, and proud of her southern roots.
So much of the woman I am. Up from the pine trees and the tall grass and the seaweeds surrounding the Gullah peoples in a little town in the south sprang forth the humanity that is deep in you. Into the hallowed hallways and the sterile rooms and the stately facades preserving the privileged and ivy buildings up north, you revealed an intelligence that is undenying. Back on the home front in the busy streets and the daily duties of a professional wife, mother, daughter, sister, friend, you found a way to gracefully bring balance and beauty to a world that is sometimes cold and unforgiving. For so many, you paint a different picture, tell another story. For me, you represent so many of the women I know, so much of the woman I am. The powerful, queen, warrior mothers of the past are within you, and they are proud. The favorite children of the future are within you, and they are blessed. The visionary, hard-working, and strong black women of today are within you, and we are thankful. So much of the woman you are, we are. So much of the elegance, dignity, strength, and character you display, we see every day in ourselves. When the days become endless and dreary, and the weight seems too hard to bear, look in the mirror and see all of the women who have come before you and made it under dreadful circumstances. See all of the children who have yet to come, and know you shine a light so bright that will make their world a more livable place. See me, cheering you on, giving you hope, holding your hand, reminding you daily that strong women keep getting stronger. At the end of the day, when the outside world is gone, it is you who must decide to hug your children, kiss your husband, respect your mother, protect your family, and love yourself. And at the end of the day, when the world outside is gone, please always know, so much of the woman you are, I am. And I am here, sending you love. Donna Asa Smith. Donna Asa Smith grew up in the Low Country of South Carolina. She is an engineer and is currently a consultant residing in Washington, D.C. She weaves words the way her grandparents weaved sweetgrass baskets. She combines her career and life experiences to captivate, enlighten, and inspire with her poignant style.